Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. Well, it was just encouraging. Dozens and dozens and dozens of comments and prayers from you Facebookers. I mean that sincerely, Mrs. Patton. Severe migraine all week long, finally culminated Friday night with a trip to the emergency room. Could not stop anything from high blood pressure through the roof. Unbelievable pain with that headache and vomiting, and the doctor said nothing is working, we have to admit her. So, in intensive care, and then, well, here today. After the program, I get to pick her up at the hospital and bring her home, but I was just so amazed at your response. We asked for prayers on Facebook, and they came from everywhere. So thrilling to know that you are there. God bless you. And thank you very much. It's happened, with confirmed coronavirus cases in the United States hitting 5 million yesterday, by far the highest of any country in the world. The failure of the most powerful nation in the world to contain this scourge has been met with astonishment and alarm, especially in Europe. Perhaps nowhere outside of the United States is America's bungled virus response viewed more consternation than in Italy, which was ground zero of Europe's epidemic. Italians were unprepared when the outbreak exploded in February, and the country still has one of the world's highest official death tolls at over 35,000. But after a strict nationwide 10-week lockdown, vigilant tracing of new clusters and general acceptance of mass mandates and social distancing, Italy has become a model of virus containment in the world. And this is absolute nonsense. What? From the beginning of time, humans have used mythology to make sense of a chaotic natural world out there. It's been said that myths is the science of a pre-scientific age. Folklore provided a pre-scientific people a comforting sense of control over nature. To address dry spells, they developed rain dances. Sunless stretches hindering crops prompted offerings to Helios. Then our ancestors sat back and waited. The rains always came. The sun always reappeared, validating their wisdom, the illusion of control reinforced. And thanks to science, we know this was pure superstition. It goes on today. Though the same outcomes would have occurred had the tribe taken no action, the tribe leader would still have received credit or blame from his constituents. Today, politicians race to take credit or to place blame for COVID-19 and their results. Do politicians really control these outcomes, or are they simply exploiting an ingrained tendency? When China first developed a lockdown in January to defeat COVID-19, the Washington Post approvingly quoted a Georgetown University professor saying, "The truth is, those kinds of lockdowns are very rare and they are never effective." In March, Imperial College of London's dire projections influenced the White House, but a careful reading of the advice contained in the Imperial College report reveals that its authors knew lockdown alone would not eliminate any infection, it would only delay infection. And the more successful a strategy is at temporary suppression, the larger the later epidemic is predicted to be in the absence of vaccination due to a lesser buildup of herd immunity. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the pandemic planning document, state non-pharmaceutical interventions such as social distancing are ineffective once a disease affects 1% of the population. Literature on the subject is unanimous worldwide. According to the European Centers for Disease Prevention and Control, there are no historical observations or scientific studies but support the confinement by quarantine of groups of possibly infected people for extended periods of time in order to slow the spread. So this goes on and on and on. And basically, the myth that lockdowns stop pandemics is really just that, a myth. Somebody start the rain dance. So, shrugging off those 5 million coronavirus cases now tallied in this country, thousands of motorcyclists converging this weekend on a small South Dakota town for what is billed as the biggest cycle gathering ever in the world. In past years, this 10-day rally in the town of Sturgis has drawn hundreds of thousands of bikers who socialize and drink and party together, raising fears among some locals that this year's version could be a super spreader event. Oh, it's a... yeah. For now, the North Central State is far from the hardest hit by COVID-19's pandemic, Meade County, where Sturgis is located. It's registered only one virus death, according to state officials, but some of the bikers pouring into the area are coming from distant states far more afflicted, and look out. South Dakota, site of the famed massive sculpture of Mount Rushmore, where President Donald Trump held a rally last month, is one of the few to have never ordered a lockdown and insisted on mask wearing. South Dakota, some folks out there have some brains. So you're in Chicago? Don't post that selfie. Probably not a good idea. Chicago doubling down on efforts to enforce its emergency coronavirus travel orders as officials are now reviewing, oh, good grief, the social media post of possible violators. Public health officials shared the update during a news conference, revealing that officials may check social feeds of suspected offenders to collect evidence for a possible citation, according to USA Today. The outlet reports that suspected violators will be identified as such through, well, contact tracing and other measures. They're coming after, Big Brother is coming after you. Good grief. And it's happening today. Back to school. What a mess this will be. This school year will be like no other in our history, and you will see chaos from coast to coast starting today. While the Christians and the crazies clashed yesterday, protesters, they clashed on Sunday after a California church held indoor services in defiance of a judge's temporary restraining order. Now, even Christians are debating this one. What to do, what to do. The Cross Church in Fort Wayne has not closed down for 1 minute since this all began. We've had constant services. The pastor allegedly has come in contact with COVID-19 infected people several times, and we're going right along as usual. Pastor Rob McCoy of Ventura County's Godspeak Calvary Chapel held services yesterday morning in the face of a judge's order supporting state and local health mandates aimed at preventing a lockdown, preventing the spread of the pandemic. Pastor McCoy's decision joins other pastors in the state to challenge the coronavirus mandate that they say unfairly targets places of worship, and you know that is an absolute fact. His decision to hold the services drew supporters, and the bad guys came out. There's plenty of room to have beautiful services if he chooses to do so, but not break the rules. You can go outside, said one concerned citizen. And I think that's not right, she said. I think God wants people to live and be healthy and not spread sickness when we don't have to. That sounds really good. Others said that attending church was their right to freedom of expression and worship, and nothing replaces the feeling of going to an in-person service. I would agree 110% with that one. We're seeing a loss of all rights in America. But the right of the church, this is the foundation of this country, and we're very serious about it. So, yeah, we're going to go to jail for it, said one Jenny Murray. She attends this church. Bring in community with your church actually means being able to come together and feel the power and believe there is an agenda out there of people trying to separate us, said another. As one pastor said there in California, that the governor, Newsom, is not the head of the church. What do you think about that? More news right after this. Well, in our church services at the Cross yesterday, I honed in on two key areas. What I call Greg Patton's 11th commandment, thou shall not whine. With all of the trouble happening at the Patton household this past week, I almost violated that command. Easy to whine, easy to complain. Yep, I complained I had no shoes till I saw someone who had no feet. You get it, don't you? Yeah, my friend, we can easily do that. And then Perhaps more importantly was the fact that I suggested that no matter what is happening in your life, particularly the negatives of life, you ask this question: through this situation, how can I most glorify God? I believe that would be most I know it's most pleasing in His sight. It's not about you. It's not about me. Our whole Christian walk is about God. So with whatever's going on, how can I most glorify God in this thing? Through the years, one of my wife Sharon's favorite things to do is to head a few hours up to Chicago and go down the Magnificent Mile. Well, probably not over the weekend. Videos are circulating now with clashes of police across Chicago's Magnificent Mile shopping area, sparked by a police-involved shooting hours earlier that left a young man wounded. Social media users posted videos of hundreds of people looting stores at Nordstrom's, Walgreens, Macy's, Coach, Gucci, Louis Vuitton. Some exchanged gunfire with police at one point. It's the new America. Shoot 'em up like the old West. Absolute chaos is happening in downtown Chicago, with more overnight looting and vandalism there in the loop. It appears to be a coordinated effort with minimal police presence there in Chicago. What is going on? The Chicago PD not responding. The unrest began Sunday afternoon after police responded to a report of a man with a gun in the Englewood neighborhood. While pursuing that individual on foot, he turned and fired at police before being struck himself and taken to a hospital. A crowd gathered at the scene, then faced off against police and started hurling objects at the police officers and getting agitated over a false report that the suspect, who was in his late teens or early 20s, was just a child. And here we go. Yep, Chicago is definitely out of control. The Senate Homeland Security Committee today subpoenaed the FBI and Director Christopher Wray as part of its broad review into the origins of the Russian investigation. Committee Chairman Ron Johnson, representative from Wisconsin, issued the first subpoena as part of the panel's review of Wray. The subpoena obtained by Fox News demands that he produce all records related to Crossfire Hurricane investigation. This includes, but is not limited to, all records provided or made available to the Inspector General of the United States Department of Justice for its review. So says the subpoena, referring to the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz's review of abuses related to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And I think we told you over a year ago, all of this is coming down. Isn't this interesting? What's going to happen? And what a turn of events over the weekend for the president. He just said, Congress, I'm tired of your nonsense, and made his move, his executive order to, what, end this nonsensical blocking attempt. Oh, what a smackdown. Furious. The Democrat leaders Pelosi and Schumer were blocking a bill to help Americans through COVID-19's crisis. The president stepped up, got the job done, did it all by himself. He issued 4 executive orders that would extend modified unemployment relief to millions who are out of work, protect many from eviction from their homes, provide continued relief from student loan debt, and suspend payroll taxes for employers and those earning less than $100,000. So how has this been described by many? It's a major game changer for the president. Oh, that'll make the presidential race hotter and closer. Yeah, Pelosi and Schumer playing games, trying to hold America hostage, and Trump just said, nah, not going to play that game. You got to love this guy. Other news: to be vice president or not to be vice president, or at least a candidate for that whole thing, should Kamala Harris be the vice presidential candidate? Many say no. If Joe Biden offers it, she should say no. Senator Kamala Harris out there in California politely declined because she should be attorney general. That's a much more powerful position. Vice president is a know-nothing job. That's one some are saying. Hopefully, it's all just rhetoric anyway. And Kamala, Joe, none of them have to worry about it. How's the weather in your neck of the woods? I think we're getting a lot of rain here in Fort Wayne, Indiana this week. It was hot yesterday, over at 90 degrees, and got friends out there in, Nevada, in Arizona, hot, hot, hot. In fact, the city Sunday afternoon broke its own heat record for having the most 110-degree heat days. That's in Phoenix, according to the National Weather Service, for 34 days this year. Phoenix met or exceeded 110 degrees, the most in a year since the city's previous record of 33 days back in 2011. Remember when Johnny Carson would start his program, It's Hot in L.A., and Ed McMahon and the audience would ask, how hot was it? Yeah, it's hot in Phoenix. Hey, remember when the critic says, it's all over for Fox News? Yeah, they're in big trouble. And there was some justification for those thoughts. It was difficult times for Fox News. A star anchor fired after being accused of sexual harassment, a lawsuit depicting a misogynist workplace, a top writer exposed as a racist internet troll, all their advertiser boycotts, remember? Outrage after Tucker Carlson called protesters criminal mobs. That was a good one. And questioning the patriotism of a senator who lost her legs in Iraq. That was awful. But you know what? Business has never been better for Fox News. In June and July, Fox News, the highest rated television channel in primetime television from 8 to 11 p.m. Just not on cable. Not just among news networks, we're talking all of television. The average live Fox News viewership in those hours outstripped cable rivals CNN, MSNBC, ESPN, as well as the networks of ABC, CBS, and NBC, according to the latest Nielsen ratings. Yeah, those conservatives are all gone. You're buying that, aren't you? Where's my Bible? Right after this important message. In 30 days, we're going to be there in Tri-Cities, Tennessee for WHCB 91.5 and the fall fundraiser. I know this has been quite a summer as we've been inquiring about a little extra giving for the move from Blountville to Bluff City. And now to keep the station on the air. You know, bills, they come from everywhere and you have more than one. That's the dilemma WHCB is facing, a bill to get to Bluff City, Tennessee, bill to keep the radio station on the air, pay the salaries of the people, the electricity, all of that stuff, and it is desperately needed now. And you, my friend, I know you're praying. Some of you have given, and now the extra mile, I think that's probably what we're asking for. I'm looking forward to meeting some of you down at Tri-Cities for the fall fundraiser and some get-togethers down there. So be praying about it, and this giving, big deal. So do you get into the habit, as most of us do, of thinking about life from my perspective? How do I unlock myself from that? You know, I think most people, few of us, foresee when the Lord is about to issue some life-impacting challenge. Isn't that true? I mean, it might be at a funeral for me as a pastor, emergency rooms with serious injuries or sickness. Something could happen here. Certainly at a wedding, I've had some great times and some unusual things have happened. Maybe some special meeting. I just know God is going to impact the whole situation in some way, but those are big moments, right? But when conviction occurs in the midst of some mundane thing, it can really have a startling impact on your life. I think it was around 40 that I realized that I needed glasses. I was down in the basement working on something, and I had to hold the thing, whatever it was, farther and farther away in order to get it in focus. What has happened? I have been at church and broken. My glasses, and went into the pulpit with them all scotch taped together. That's a real treat. There have been times I've been at church, and where are they? Out in the car, double-checking. Did I leave them at my desk at home before I left for church? And I get excited. Thank you, Lord. There they are. How'd they get on the floor? I joyously retrieved those reading glasses, and as I head to the pulpit, I, in delight, rejoice over my reunion and salvaging the message for the day. But you know, suddenly, in the midst of my growing sulk, there it was, one of those unmistakable impressions of life, wordless yet somehow very loud to me and very plain. You what? You were upset? You were mourning over the idea of impaired vision? But how deep is your concern for those who have total blindness spiritually and cannot see? Your loss, which was temporary and replaceable, made you upset? Why don't you, with that same intensity, share your concern over what is lost eternally, forever and ever? And what about the tears and others' lies? Do you share my compassion for their hurts, Greg? All kinds of images and memories assaulted me then. Prayer requests for co-workers, ailing or unsaved relatives. Yes, I do pray, but dutifully and somehow mechanically. However, when requesting prayer for my unbelieving loved ones and friends, don't I expect you to apply a sense of urgency to that prayer? That's my perspective. Word that a friend's mother had died? That's too bad, I heard myself say. But had it been my mom, the tragedy would have been unbearable. Been there, done that. The routine horrors of the 11 o'clock news, which I often watch in numb detachment before dropping off to a good night's sleep, thank you, Lord. Let me ask you, why do we do that? Why do we go through life with such a selfish perspective? Maybe it's because there's so much pain all around us that our mere survival necessitates tuning out the agony and the pain and the horror of others. But let me ask you, when did we stop feeling, or when did we ever start feeling? The very first sin, after all, involved elevating personal preferences over concern about anyone else, including God and His desires. Scripture, well, it even accuses us of callousness toward Jesus. He was despised and forsaken of men, like one of whom men hide their face, Isaiah 53:3. We figured He brought the trouble on Himself and assumed it had nothing to do with us whatsoever. How could we be so oblivious to His suffering, which was endured on our account? Forgive me, Lord. Help me to feel what You feel and see what You see, so that I can be burned enough today to pray in Your name, to genuinely cry out in a prayer that resonates with Your heart. It seems strange to pray for pain, to actually to feel the desperate ache of people around us, and the distress of Almighty God Himself. Yet how can we genuinely cry out on behalf of others unless we feel for them? Read Psalm 34:15, James 5:16. And how can we get far enough beyond me, our me vantage point, to be able to really feel these things? We'll talk more about this on the next program. Seeing from our own perspective is, of course, natural. But you know, if you're truly a Christian today, seriously now, if you're really a Christian, it's all about living supernaturally above the things of the world. Give that some thought today. And finally, that little boy afraid of the dark. One night, Mom said, go out on the back porch, get the broom. Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus is out there. He's everywhere. Are you sure? Asked the little boy. I'm sure. He's all ready to help you. He thought about it for a moment, cracked the back door, and said, Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom? That's the way I do it today.
That's it, my friend, for a Monday. I trust you're going to have a great week serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me on Facebook. That's Greg, Jerry, G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. It's wonderful to have you on board. I certainly found out about it over this weekend. That is so very true. Thank you for being there. Tell others about the broadcast, and don't forget to join us tomorrow. Same time, same place. And until then, God bless. You have yourself one fantastic Monday.